Welcome to the Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're an industry pro, you're building, or you're buying, we got you covered here at the Home Building Hero. We're coming to you live today from the LP Studios here in Wisconsin. I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you for tuning in today. All right. Good day, everybody. Today, we are going to be talking about the six D's of home buying, the six things that ultimately determine when and if people are going to buy or sell their home. And it's especially important these days because the era of casual home buying and investment buying is dramatically changed. It's certainly not as large of a part of the industry anymore. You know, back when I started, you know, building and selling homes many, many years ago, it used to be that people would build a brand new home, live in it for a couple of years and turn around and sell it, profit off of it, and do it all over again. And that just doesn't happen anymore. And that's due to a variety of things. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I'm going to give you a preview of the six D's of home buying, and then we're going to go through each one and explain why it's a factor. So here we go. The six D's of home buying are D for divorce, D for death, D for deliveries, as in new babies, D for disability, as in life change to your physical ability, D for dating and marriages, and last D, number six, displacement of your job. These are all factors into when and if you need to buy or sell a new home. And so what we've noticed is, especially over the last couple of years, coming off the 3% interest rates, those have become sort of golden handcuffs for a lot of home buyers out there. I mean, quite frankly, a lot of people have been interested in buying a home or building a home, but they haven't because they feel like they're stuck in their home with that 3% rate. And they don't want to bounce up, obviously, to pay that higher interest rate. But what's happening is interesting because there are still people out there, of course, purchasing homes. But they're purchasing them for a very specific reason, and that's a life-changing event. And so thus, the six D's of the home buying are here. And this is my own creation and list here of these topics, and they're all valid reasons to buy a home. And here's what's interesting is they're buying them because of a life-changing event. These are also very emotionally charged things. And guess what? Most people make their decisions, 80% of people make their decisions based on emotion, not logic. And so they either have to sell or buy a house, or they're very motivated to do so. And they don't care what the environment is, they're going to do it no matter what. So let's look at this a little further. So the first one on my list, D for divorce. That's obviously a very common thing. And we do see a lot of people that obviously sell their homes and of course buy new homes as they go through divorce. In the year 2021, this is the last year that we have the full data on, 2021, there were 689,000 divorces in the United States. It's a pretty big number. So that's a decent amount of people that are going to get into the home buying market. Now keep this in mind too, you got 689,000 people, but you've got out of those people, a husband and a wife that are now separating. So you can almost theoretically double that number, which is, you know, 1.3 million roughly of people that are out in the market. Now, not every single one of these is going to be in a position to buy a new home. Some are going to have to rent and so on and so forth. But that's a significant chunk of people throughout the country that are going to be moving for obvious reasons. So for you as real estate agents and people in the industry, you probably have to think about this for a second and say, hey, you know, that's a decent amount of people, but what else is there? There's got to be more opportunities, and there certainly is. So the second D of home buying is death. And of course, the natural circle of life comes life and death. And a lot of times when someone dies, whether it's a spouse, that can trigger a home sale because, you know, just using my father, for example, as soon as my father died, within a day or two, my mom was like, okay, I'm going to be selling. Now, they had a little vacation home in Arizona, and then they had a home here that they've had for over 40 plus years in Wisconsin. And she immediately made the decision to sell the vacation home in Arizona. It was a no-brainer. She's like, nope, I'm not coming back here anymore. And on the flight home, as I'm taking her home, she's like, I want to sell our house, and I want to build a new house with you. Kind of a shocking thing to tell you 2 days after going through that. But it was like, it's just time for a change. I don't want to deal with the yard, and I just need something simpler that I can enjoy. And I want my own house now. I was like, okay. So death is a huge motivating factor into selling homes. And it also can be a factor just in, okay, you know, you have two parents, one of them passes, maybe the other one stays in the home, but as soon as the other parent passes, well, that house is clearly going to go on the market, or maybe that gets transferred down to the family. But most of the time, you know, people don't, just move into their family's home. They end up selling it because they already have living arrangements. So death is a huge deciding factor as well into home buying. And on average, there's over 3,464,000 people on average die in the United States every year. So again, that's a big chunk of people that need to buy or sell because of those situations. The other thing that happens with death too is, you know, if you're on the other end where it's a parent and you've inherited money, that may change your financial situation. You may not want the parents' home, but now you've got, you know, a couple $100,000, depending on how many siblings and things, that could be used as a down payment for another property. And now you could sell your home and use that extra funds to purchase a new home. So death is another opportunity to buy and sell, and a pretty big one every year. Okay. What's next? Well, let's talk about deliveries. Now, what I mean by deliveries is not, of course, your Amazon package. I'm talking the package that comes from the stork, and that's babies. And that's a huge driver for people buying and especially also building a home. We're actually working with a client right now, and they have their fourth that they just delivered just a few weeks ago. And when you have four kids, you're not going to find a lot of houses on the market that are going to match up what you need, especially with four kids. So we are custom designing them a beautiful five-bedroom home, five-bath too. It's a pretty big house, but that's what they need for their family. And it's a young family, so they're going to be in there a long time. It's going to be exactly what they need. In the United States, there's 3,659,000 babies born on average per year, at least as of last tracked in 2021. So even more so than deaths, there's actually almost another 200,000 plus people that have babies every year. And so that's a huge motivating factor. Now, not every single person that has a baby is going to move, but if you're in a little apartment, you know, a one bedroom apartment, you certainly aren't going to want to live there very long with the baby. Likewise, if you have a child and you have a second one and you're in a little three-bedroom home or two-bedroom home, you might be like, okay, it's getting a little tight in here. It's time to move. It's another motivating factor for anyone to buy a home. And again, with the first three Ds so far, divorce, death, delivery, those are all really big life-changing events that are going to motivate people to buy or sell, and they're not going to care what the market is. They just need what they need. And the next one is very similar as well in you need what you need, and that is disability. And unfortunately, that's a growing segment of the market. You know, and we've talked in the other podcast about the silver tsunami and how many people are approaching the age of 65 and are going to retire, which is a very big and real thing. But here's the other thing, because when you start to get to that age, disability starts to come into effect. And they said that right now, one in four people in the United States have some sort of disability. Now, some of these disabilities maybe would not affect living in a home. So this breaks down further. 12.1% of all Americans have some sort of movement-related disability, which would prohibit them from doing steps, climbing stairs, or living in certain types of homes. So again, that's a huge potential audience of people that would want to buy a home. And they're buying it for a simple reason that they can't, you know, live independently in the home that they have. Or maybe they have a spouse, but becomes burdensome to live in a big two-story home, for example. So as we look at the segment of the market for that, out of all the people in the country, that's over 40 million people that just have movement disabilities. Now, some of these folks will already be in homes that are, you know, accommodating their situation, but others aren't. And so those that aren't are a potential audience to buy homes. In addition to the 12.1% that have the movement disability, there's actually another 7.2% that have issues living independently. And so that's another very large chunk, what, another, say, 20,000 or maybe 18,000 people that are going to have this issue of not being able to live alone. And maybe they just need to move into a smaller, like a ranch-type home. Some may have to actually move into some sort of assisted living facility. Maybe it's because of age or just because of their physical capabilities. This also is a huge market for remodelers because aging in place is also something that's important. So for those that are on the lower end of the spectrum, maybe putting in some grab bars, wheelchair ramps, things like that, maybe ADA faucets or whatever it is that's needed to help you navigate your home, those are things that need to be factored in as well. All right, now the next D of the home buying, the fifth one, and I call it dating, but it also goes into marriage. And there's some interesting stats out there. So in 2021, 1,985,000 people got married. So nearly 2 million people got married. That leaves a whole 117.5 million unmarried people in the United States that some will jump into that pool. But typically when you get married, guess what? You're going to change your living arrangement. This is one of the biggest drivers of any move because, you know, especially if they're older adults, they probably both have their own living arrangements. Now you could have two that are in an apartment, but now potentially you have dual income now. So you get married, you might double your income, and now you can afford to buy a home, and you're certainly not going to both keep your same apartment or separate apartments. So likely at that point, that's a good time to buy a home. Additionally, we're seeing a lot of people that are coupling up and they're buying a home together. They're not married yet. And so a lot of times it'll go entitled into one name and the other partner will support financially their share of the home. Because again, rental rates have gone up a lot too. So, you know, if you can cohabitate, it's also a trial run, obviously, for those folks, see if they can live together. But it makes financial sense in a lot of cases. Plus, you know, there's deductions and things like that for owning the home. So the dating and marriage thing is a huge factor. And again, you know, nearly clocking in at 2 million per year in the United States, that's a pretty large audience of people that are tying the knot and almost very shortly thereafter buying the home together. And, you know, again, it makes tons of sense. You don't need two residences. You have a situation where now you've got potentially additional income, additional money. You know, they can pool their savings together and maybe ultimately afford now to buy that new home or maybe build the new home. And then, of course, this results in sales as well, because if they both own properties, one of them is going to sell a home, maybe both, and they might just buy a brand new home. I'm doing that right now for a client where they both had homes, they both sold them, and they're building a brand new home together. All right, now the last D of home buying, displacement. Now this one I struggled with. It's a little bit of a stretch, but displacement, and what I mean by that is their job is displaced. Now, it could be for two different reasons. You could have your job displaced as far as getting laid off. Now that wouldn't necessarily promulgate you to buy a new home. Most people don't do that when they lose their job. But I'm talking more about displacement as in transferring. Now this has been on the decline for a while. And ever since really COVID, job transfers and things like that are very rare. In fact, I used to, many years ago, a large part of my business was what we call transferee home buyers. We have some big corporations here in Wisconsin like GE and Johnson Controls and some of those places, and they were constantly moving people in, moving people out. And they bought a lot of my model homes over the years. In fact, we were a preferred builder on their list to go to if someone needed a home. But with work from home, that's changed things. And a lot of these big corporations are not investing tons of money to help move people all across the country to get them over to a location. Said over 35% of executives are working from home now. That's a huge number. So clearly that's a number on the decline. But there are a lot of job openings out there. Currently, there's over 8.8 million job openings in the United States. Now, clearly, 8.8 million people are not going to get the type of job that is going to pay for a home. A lot of the job openings are certainly service industries, trades, and things like that, where maybe they don't have the wherewithal to buy a home. But out of those 8.8 million job openings, there's 1.1 million of them that are like management level or above. Okay, so those folks can certainly buy a home. And if they're getting moved across the country or even just in a different part of the state, they may want to buy or sell a home, especially if you're getting a promotion or a good wage increase. You might even get a nice signing bonus for some of those jobs. That might be a good time to buy or sell a home. And that's a pretty large part. Now, we're certainly not 1.1 million are going to buy it, but if we start to boil this down a little bit and say, hey, let's just say out of those 1.1 million that are in management level, let's just say 5% of those buy or sell a home. Well, now that's another 35,200 people that are in the market. So when you combine the death, the divorce, the deliveries, the disabilities, the dating, and the displacement, that turns into a pretty big number of people that could hit the market. This is kind of staggering. I did not even include the displacement data, the people that would leave the workforce. But if you factor in all the other ones, that's over 9,797,000 people that could be buying or selling a home in a given year just because of those factors. This does not factor in casual buy-sell in real estate. And then if you start to factor in the disabled, which I didn't include in the total either, if you include disabled people and just say 5% of them decide to move because of, let's say, a life-changing event that affects their physicality, you know, now you're all at 11,839,000 and some change people, 11,839,000 people that could buy or sell a home in a given year. That's a big, big audience. So again, the stigma that, you know, nobody's buying a house because of interest rates, nobody's buying or going to buy or sell a house is complete bollocks. It's not even a factor because there's always life-changing events that are going to preempt people into buying or selling a home. Now, let's compare this really quickly. Like I said, got 11,800,000, we'll just say round number, potential movers and shakers. In 2022, for example, there was a little over 5 million homes sold in 2022. So that's a good, you know, you have more people out there with these situations than homes sold. That's actually good news for anyone in real estate. Now let's talk about the number of homes in the market. Right now, currently, there's 1,130,000 homes for sale right now in the United States. And like I said, National Association of Realtors, their recent data, on average, looking over the last like 5 to 10 years, they sell anywhere from 3.8 to 4.5 million homes through real estate agents per year. So we've got nearly 12 million potential people that could hit the market for those life-changing events. And almost a third of that is you know, represented in the market, whether it's in MLS or home sales. And there's only a million homes for sale, a little over a million homes for sale currently right now. So certainly not all 12 million people are going to buy and sell a home on day one here. But, you know, you start to divide that out and those things happen throughout the year. You know, if there's a wave of any of those things, that can really quickly and dramatically affect the inventory out there. There's a potential for like a 12x type of thing out there where there's 12 times as many people that could be eligible to buy and sell a home as what's out there on the inventory. So this is just another interesting data point that we can look at as we talk about why the housing market is going to stay strong and why the housing market is going to continue to move along, because there's millions and millions of people that are changing stuff up in some way or another, whether it's personally, professionally, their life, whether they can control it or not, that are going to be in the market at some point. And there's 12 times what's actually out there on the market. So there always is going to be a demand. There's always going to be a demand for new homes, new products, and certainly those more specific situations would require potentially building a home. Again, those families of four or five, they aren't going to find a five-bedroom house on the market. The family of someone who has a specific disability that can no longer live in the home, they're going to move. Those situations where maybe a wealthy parent passes away and leaves some money to their young family members that now can afford them the ability to buy a home. These all change things, and very quickly. And again, most people are motivated by that emotion. They're motivated by making their life easier, taking away pain, getting convenience. And so you don't necessarily need the casual home buyer anymore. It certainly is nice. Certainly adds to the velocity of your transactions. There certainly is enough demand out there right now based on what's supplied in the marketplace. Certainly is enough demand out there to keep home building going and going and going for many, many years to come. So there you have it, your 6 D's of home buying. These are the main decisions and the main drivers on why people buy and sell homes. And now you know the motivation behind the move.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to The Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Bellman Home Studio. If you haven't already, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Until next time, I'm David Bellman, signing off.